Local talk about local issues. It's the Gary Bouton Show on the AJR News Network.
And good morning on a lovely Tuesday morning in the Clarksburg, North Central West Virginia area, and pretty much all across West Virginia from what I've heard. A little chilly, but a delightful day. Good to have you along. Spike Nesmith is with us in studio. Mike King's handling phones. Brittany Murray is handling news duties on National Noodle Ring Day. Do you know what noodle rings are? You ever done? Little, I mean, I've got a lot of noodles, but I'm not familiar with. They're like 1/2 inch to an inch. I can't quite tell from the picture. Pasta noodles. I'm just not really familiar with them. Apparently, kids use them to make crafts, which might be a better idea than consuming them. I'm not sure. I guess it makes a difference as to how you prepare them. But anyway, yeah, I'm not familiar with noodle rings. On our show today, we're going to talk about a former school consolidation plan with the Harrison County Superintendent of Schools, Dr. Mark Manchin, in just a moment. We found a neat story, a project that probably could be spread to other areas, and that's why we want to chat with them. It's actually down in Raleigh County, but it's a program that's been going on since around 1930 called Max Toy Fund, and they refurbish toys and then have a big party at their armory, and children get to come in and pick out these refurbished toys. They have a lot of volunteers that are involved in the process, and really neat program that we want to talk about with Pete Tirico. And then toward the end of the show, Bobby Nicholas is going to join us. He's got a big show at the Robinson Grand Performing Arts Center tonight, so he'll be joining us in studio to talk about the show that he will be presenting this evening. First up this morning, Dr. Mark Manchin is on the line. Dr. Manchin, thanks for joining us.
Oh, you're welcome, Gary. Glad to be here.
Yeah, a lot of folks know now that the SBA did not approve the funding request that would have consolidated a couple of schools. Actually, the money would have been used to refurbish United High School, which is that the former Gore Middle School? Do I have this all right?
That is correct.
Okay, so
Gore Middle School.
Okay, so the funding is not there to do this kind of quasi consolidation swap with United High School. So where are we now?
Well, you know, the school building authority has been very good to Harrison County.
Oh yes, yeah.
We've got well over $30 million over the last 12 years. So we understand it is a process, and during this process, I understood that there's a little different process and a little different dynamic than in the past. So I knew that Harrison County would have to work very hard, and you know, other schools did get funded, and I'm happy for them. Now what we can do is take a look at this, step back. The board will make the ultimate decision. I'm not sure what direction we should go, but over the years, and when I was the executive director of the School Building Authority, we funded projects that were submitted for the third and fourth time. So it's possible, in fact, very possible, that we could resubmit this project and be very successful next year with maybe even additional money. I don't know.
Right.
That's really up to the board, but we'll discuss it a little bit tonight. But we have a little bit of time now. We'll step back. I'll sit down with the faculties at both schools and inform them. I'm sure they all know. And then we'll go from there. But right now, I'm disappointed. I wish we would have got funded, but other schools did get funded. I was happy for some of the counties that have not been funded in the past were able to get funded this time. So we'll move forward and we'll take it from here.
Dr. Manchin, I want to do a little bit of clarification because I don't know that everybody's familiar with exactly what United High School is, and it got attention because had this all come about, had this plan been approved and funded, if the board had approved the pitch, if you will, United would have been moved to Adamston, the present Adamston Elementary School or grade school. Explain to listeners what United High School is.
United High School is a school that allows for those students that are not necessarily successful in a larger school, don't fit in for whatever reason, mm-hmm. and there are a large number of students who simply just don't fit in. We're in danger of losing those children. In fact, 5 years ago, well over 130 students dropped out of Harrison County schools. Last year, less than I think 12 or 13 dropped out, and a lot of that can be attributed to the fact that we're recognizing the issues that they face. We have an alternative setting for it. It's not necessarily a disciplinary issue. Students have to agree to go over there. They sit down with the counselor and the principal, And in many instances, they're successful there where they otherwise would not be successful. And it's worked very, very well. And we're very proud of that program. We're going to continue that program regardless of the venue. We think it's terrific. So it's a school that allows students who are not performing well in the regular school, for whatever reason, and there's a myriad of reasons why children are successful and they're not. Sometimes they don't quite fit in. There's a lot of different issues. Too large class, the social atmosphere is not necessarily what they like. This is a smaller school with smaller class size where we're able to address some of their needs. There is some disciplinary issues that we have over there. We have the Phoenix program for students who have been expelled, and we have the Evolution program who have some discipline issues, but a large number of students over at United High School are students who voluntarily go over there, smaller class size, are able to be successful where in many instances they probably would not.
Okay. I think some people don't totally understand, you know, what who we're teaching there, what and what the issues are, and I wanted to make that clarification. The funding that was not approved is disappointing, but you're a former director of the SBA, so again, you understand the process and understand that in many cases, there's just more demand than there are funds to provide.
Yeah, and I think this year, if I'm not mistaken, $130 million worth of requests, and they had around $40 million,
yeah,
a little bit more than $40 million to distribute. And yes, I know that very well. Over the years, when I was the executive director, we had well over $200, $250 million worth of requests, and $40 and $50 and $60 million to distribute. So there's a lot of people who don't get funded. It's not necessarily just because it's a bad project, and there's different focuses, there's different priorities in this election than I'm particularly used to. It was a little different process than I'm used to.
Well, let's go there, Dr. Manchin, because I read that there was a little bit of a hiccup related to the timing of when votes are taken by the Board of Education, and the process apparently has changed a little bit. But I was confused when you were having public hearings as to why you were doing that ahead of the SBA's action, in that the SBA planned to make their decision before the final vote by our Board of Education, which would have taken place tonight, right?
Yeah. And
what's going on there?
That is an issue.
I'm sorry?
And I'll be frank with you, I don't totally understand it.
Okay.
It has not been articulated to the superintendent as exactly what is the proper protocol. They've changed it. I think the State Board of Education is becoming a little more involved in this process than traditionally they have. 1890 of the West Virginia Code clearly establishes the school building authority who makes that determination. I think that you're finding that the State Board of Education is becoming a little more active in this whole process. I don't know if it's for the good or for the bad. That can be debated. But now they're suggesting that maybe you have school hearings and closings prior to being funding. And those are contentious and sometimes very difficult, particularly for locally elected boards of education. Nobody feels good about closing the school. So when there's no even guarantee you're going to get funded, go through that whole process and not get funded, I think it's, to be frank with you, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I categorically deny that that's any kind of issue as to why things are funded or why they're not. That's ridiculous. They have every right to choose what they want to fund, and in this instance, they chose to fund certain projects than traditionally would have funded.
Yeah.
That's their right.
Yeah.
But to suggest that there's some sort of new protocol, I'm not aware of it, and there's nothing been specifically written as to what you have to follow, when you have to follow it. So as far as I'm concerned, we'll continue to go down
right
this path, though, even though we did have school closing hearings prior to even having the meeting of the school building authority, which when I was SBA director, we wouldn't require that. Certainly you have time between now and July, when the money starts to flow, to have all those hearings, or the money wouldn't flow. But, it is what it is.
Right.
We understand, and we're going to move forward.
Right. We're talking with Dr. Mark Manchin, superintendent of Harrison County Schools. Dr. Manchin, the Wilsonburg Elementary School, the physical plant, is it an exaggeration to say that it's at the assisted living stage?
I don't think that's an exaggeration at all, Gary.
Okay. All right.
It's a modular. It was never intended to. We've had it for a number of years.
So,
now, long past.
How do we handle it now going forward?
Well, obviously, like any aging facility, we must continue to address it and address it in ways that make our employees and our students safe. I don't think there's anything imminent as far as danger is concerned, but we're just concerned of the aging facility. And the infrastructure doesn't allow for 21st century education, mm-hmm. and I think that does a great disservice to these students. And what we would have done is, obviously, with the $8.5 million that we would have utilized here at the new United High School and the new elementary school, we would have the infrastructure would have been the wiring and things of that nature, whiteboards, and all of the bells and whistles that today's education demands would have been utilized where we can't utilize in these small rural schools. But we're not doing it, obviously, there's 55 counties, and many counties are facing similar to what we are. We will address it. I can assure you that, and the students at Addison, and for that fact, all over this county, the taxpayers of Harrison County have a right to demand of the Board of Education to address those needs. And I can assure you, the board and I will work closely with the faculties and the administration and students and parents to assure that that school will upgrade it to the as much as necessary to provide these children a quality education.
Right. Did the public hearings held over the last couple of weeks offer, and they didn't look like they had a huge turnout, but did they offer any alternative ideas of value to you or the board?
Well, obviously, we had met with them prior to that meeting. I met with all the faculty, both faculties on a number of occasions, my staff and I. So we had a chance to interact, and obviously there's some concern. There's concerns about their jobs. Anytime change is never easy. That's why go through this whole process prior to the funding, to be frank with you, is absolutely ridiculous. And to require that you have all the hearings and all that, and then turn around and maybe not get funded, put people through these issues, I got a real problem with that. I'll continue to address that at the state level.
Mm-hmm.
But we spoke to the faculties, both faculties, even for that fact, and parents, and we get input. People tell us what they feel, and I thought it was productive, but we had the opportunity long before the hearing to sit down with both faculties and interact and try to allay some of their concerns prior to those hearings.
How will the revised or the new submission of the CEFP play into how soon you put a plan in front of the SBA again?
Well, we're still about, if I'm not mistaken, it's October now is when you must submit your plan. So we have, between now and October, probably this summer, to sit down. The board and I will sit down, and again, and like I said earlier, it's quite conceivable to resubmit this project in toto, just as it is, and maybe even ask for additional money. So that's a pretty distinct possibility, or take a look at something else. I don't know. The board has asked me to make recommendations, and right now, we'll step back and move forward. We're nearing a Christmas break and ready for second semester when we come back after the Christmas break. And we have this winter and this spring to sit down and try to evaluate where we are and make that recommendation to the board.
Dr. Manchin, I know you were down in Charleston yesterday to kind of look into this, and appreciate you joining us this morning to give us the latest on what's going on and an idea of what might happen going forward. We appreciate it.
Anytime, Gary. Thank
right.
you, buddy.
Sure, Dr. Manchin. Appreciate it. Dr. Manchin, Harrison County Superintendent of Schools. Time for us to take a break. When we return, we're going to talk about Max Toy Fund. It's actually down in the Beckley area in Raleigh County. I'm guessing that a lot of folks haven't heard about it, but it's really interesting, something that probably could be done up in north central West Virginia. And we're going to find out a little more about it. We're going to talk with their Vice President, Pete Tirico, right after our break.
And now, back to the Gary Boughton Show on the AJR News Network.
There was a great story in the Exponent Telegram a couple of days ago that was picked up from a Beckley newspaper, and I'm not sure when it ran there, but it's about a program, a holiday program they do in the Raleigh County area called Max Toy Fund, and it sounded really interesting. The story locally was primarily about refurbishing dolls and making them available to young people in that area. But I learned in doing some reading and talking that the program is much, much bigger than just dolls. And Pete Tirico is the vice president of Max Toy Fund in Beckley, and he joins us this morning. Good morning, Pete.
Good morning. How are you today?
Good. Thanks for checking in, and thanks for taking time, because with all the kids you're taking care of there for the holidays, it's got to be a particularly busy time for you.
Well, it's a great time for
us. Yeah. Tell us about Max Toy Fund. This goes back all the way to...
back 88 years.
Yeah, wow.
Max Toy Fund was started 88 years ago by the editor of our local newspaper, who had visited the local poor farm. And while visiting the poor farm, he noticed that the kids there didn't have any toys to play with. So he went back and he wrote an editorial about the poor farm and the children. And he put in there, anyone that would drop off toys at the newspaper, he would see to it that they got to the poor farm. Well, local people dropped off probably, and we don't know exactly how many, probably a carload of toys that he took to the toy fund, took to the poor farm.
Uh-huh.
Well, he started doing that on an annual basis, and his name was Ted McDowell, and that's where the name Max Toy Fund came from. So 88 years later, it has grown from a carload of toys to actually tractor trailer loads of toys.
My.
And
it sounded like such a neat idea, whereby such a big part of your local community is involved in this, and I wanted to kind of dig into it, because I thought, what a wonderful concept that communities in this area could borrow from.
Well, we often say that we are the largest toy store in West Virginia for 3 hours once a year. And we hold this at our local, we call it the Armory or the Convention Center. And this year, we work through the DHHR, and that's where our people are invited. Myself, I do not know who's being invited. The DHHR rep calls Charleston on the first day of December and gets a list from all people in Raleigh County, and Raleigh County only, who are receiving any kind of assistance and have children between the ages of 2 and not yet 13.
Okay.
And that list this year is composed of 4,900 children. So we mail an invitation to each of those 4,900 children and invite them to the Max Toy Fund party, which will be held on the 22nd this year.
Oh, right. Okay, right. Yeah,
it's
right.
It's truly a community-wide project. We have people who work on this from all over our community. I mean, the volunteers, we probably have 300-400 volunteers who work on different things year-round, and it all comes together on the day of the Toy Fund.
Well, let's start with the project to refurbish dolls. I got an opportunity to talk to Diana Harvey yesterday, who I'm told heads this up. When did that start? And tell us about the process of how that comes together, because there were a couple of photos in our paper, and it looked like these ladies were having a good time doing this.
Well, I'm pretty proud of it. We call them the doll ladies.
Yeah.
And the original bunch of doll ladies started with my mother.
Okay, I thought I had heard that.
A group of her friends at the church. And what happened, they started taking dolls that needed their hair combed, they needed a bath, they needed new clothes, and they would meet in the fellowship hall at the church once a week for about 3 months, and they would, of course, talk and gossip and work on dolls. And Diane she's almost family to me, but she was one of the doll ladies, and after my mother passed, she picked up the chairmanship of that, and we will give every little girl that wants a doll a doll.
Mm-hmm.
And the dolls are just absolutely beautiful. And I mean, people donate them, and some of them you look at and say, my goodness, it needs to be thrown in the trash, and they say, oh no, we can clean it up and make it beautiful.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah, and it was obvious they're having fun doing that, and Diana mentioned that they did, and
sure,
of course she and her women elves, let's call it, in all likelihood know what a cute doll can mean to a young girl at Christmas time.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
One thing we do too, Gary, we work with Mountaineer Automobile and also the Board of Realtors and the Boy Scouts. And we will give out in the neighborhood of 500 bicycles.
Oh,
which
yeah.
is, I don't know if you've ever seen 500 bicycles at one time, but that is a lot of bicycles.
I'm still trying to get my head around the 40, almost 5,000 kids that you're going to entertain on the 22nd. That's a huge project. We're talking with Pete Tirico, who's the vice president of the Max Toy Fund in Beckley. It's a big holiday program to provide kids for young people around Christmas time. And I've got more questions I want to ask about this because it's such a cool project and it's so huge. Can you hang on through our news break, Pete? Hang on. We'll get back to you. We're going to find out what's happening all around the state of West Virginia. Time for your Metro News update. We'll be back right after this.
Your daily dose of sanity. The Gary Bowden Show on the AJR News Network.
We're talking with Pete Tirico, the vice president of Max Toy Fund in Beckley and the Raleigh County area. They've got a big celebration coming up on the 22nd where they provide toys of many kinds for young people in that area. Where do you get, like, the dolls that, I don't want to spend too much more time on dolls, yeah. but where are they getting now the dolls to refurbish, and where do the materials come from that they use to clean them up, fix them up, put new hair on them?
Gary, we've got several drop-off spots in Beckley. The biggest one is at BJW Printers, and people drop off new and used toys there just about year-round now, and they then let the ladies take them to the church. We have a pretty large budget, along with the toys, the dolls. We give every kid who needs a coat a new coat.
Oh, okay.
We've got our president, Don Dayton, and our treasurer, Sherry Hunter. They go shopping, and we'll spend pretty close to $7,000 on new coats. Plus, the Shady Spring cheerleaders, they refurbish coats, and we give those out also. And every kid that wants a toboggan, gloves, or mittens, we see to it that they have that when they leave also. We give away, every kid that comes through gets a doll if they want it. They get all the stuffed animals they want. They get a new toy. They get a used toy. They get a coat. We give them a bag of fruit. They get gloves, mittens. When we give a child a bicycle,
how do you? I'm curious about
a new helmet to go along with
Pete.
So they're safe doing riding their new bike.
Yeah, I'm curious about the logistics of that. You mentioned 4,900 children and 500 bicycles. How do you work that out?
Well, we've been doing this long enough that there's a lot of hand-me-down bikes out there.
Okay, all right. So some of the bikes are refurbished too.
We give away probably last year we gave away about 150. Refurbished bikes and about 350 new bikes.
Okay.
So the Boy Scouts work on them. And when we give away a bicycle, it's not a bicycle in a box. It's a bike that's
ready to ride,
assembled, and done right by the Boy Scouts and their Cub Masters, Boy Scout Masters.
Yeah. I think the concept of the refurbished toys being a big part of this, and presumably the way the whole program got started, is such a great concept, because today in our society, Pete, everything's about the newest, the smallest, the fastest, and here we're bringing great joy just by kind of a sustainable toy universe that we've got going down in Beckley.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
Well, we tell everybody whenever you're moving or you're cleaning your closet out, think of Max Toy Fund. And I will also say this. I think Max Toy Fund is just as good for the volunteers as it is for the recipients of those toys.
Yeah.
We've got a lot of young people. When I say young people, Sunday school classes, church groups. We've got the Boy Scouts. We've got Honor Society kids. I mean, the list is long of volunteers who help pull this off. And those kids, it does them a world of good to come out and see what they've got and others don't have.
Yeah. Well, and not to mention the fact that you're building your community service leaders of the future, which is so important.
It is, truly is. And we've got, like I said, we're never short of help. We have a lot of people who want to participate, and Max Toy Fund's been going on long enough that they show up on the day of the Toy Fund and come to work, and we get people through there in a pretty fashionable time, and everyone gets out of there. It's not like you're going to be there all day.
I heard that you've been a part of this for quite a while. Pete, how did you get connected?
I hate to even tell you.
Please do.
My first Max Toy Fund, I was 12 years old and a Boy Scout.
Okay.
And I'm going to give my age away, but I'm getting close to 70, so it's been a long time. And then later worked on the Toy Fund with the JCs, and then we had a group of people in Beckley who the newspaper changed hands, and we were concerned about the future of it. We put together a group that kind of now oversees the Toy Fund, and it's worked out real well. But it's we've got a lot of people who come and help and work on it who, when they were children, were recipients of it.
Yeah. Boy, that's great, too. So did you recruit your mother then?
No, Mom stepped up. She
okay.
said, I need to do something. What can I do?
Okay.
And she helped out. For our family, it's pretty much a family affair.
Yeah.
I tell everybody the whole family shows
yeah,
up.
Yeah, right. Work. Yeah. Well, it sounds like the whole community you've got going there. And what a really neat project. Max Toy Fund in Beckley. Pete Tirico, thanks so much for joining us this morning, and good luck.
Gary, thanks for letting us share our story.
Absolutely. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you.
Okay, we got to take a break. When we return, Bobby Nicholas has a big concert tonight at the Robinson Grand Performing Arts Center. It's called Bobby Nicholas Soul Christmas, and we're going to find out all about it because Bobby Nicholas is going to join us in our studio right after this.
Weekdays from 9, it's the Gary Bowden Show on the AJR News Network.
And we're joined by Bobby Nicholas in studio. Bobby's in town for a big production and show tonight at the Robinson Grand Performing Arts Center. Good morning. Welcome.
Good morning, Gary.
Thanks for joining us. It's always nice.
Well, thank you for having me.
A lot more fun to do these interviews face-to-face. So
this is the best part of getting up. It's not Folgers in your cup, but spending time here with Gary.
Right. Yeah. Well, you know what? We talked yesterday that both of us have been around North Central West Virginia. We're transplants. You've been around a little longer than I. But and we're pretty sure we've crossed paths, but I don't know that we've ever spent much time talking to each other.
Well, you know, I've been around. I have a long-term 40-plus year relationship. A love affair with the West Virginia Radio Corporation.
Oh, okay.
Of course, they've been supporting myself and my nonprofit issues for many, many years.
Well, you've performed in this area and a lot of other areas for a long, long time. I'm going to say how long. I kind of know.
Well,
that
about 55 years.
Goes
to be
back to
you.
Your childhood, doesn't it?
It definitely does.
Yeah.
Yes.
Tell us about that. How you got started.
Well, I got started when I was about 15 years old, and I was amazed when someone said they were going to pay me to sing a song. It was just something I loved to do. And over the years, I've been in North Central West Virginia. Oh, I started out at Green Acres. Believe it or not, do you remember Green Acres?
Here?
Yes.
In Harrison County.
Harrison County.
I sure do. My wife and I had our first dinner date and dance there, is my recollection. I hope I got that right.
I admired Sammy Bettini.
Yeah.
He was just a wonderful, wonderful musician and individual. And it's been a love affair here with Harrison County ever since.
When did you first realize, at what age, that, hey, I'm pretty good at this? I can sing.
You really don't know.
Okay.
I got some encouragement when I was 5 or 6 years old. I was in a little children's church choir, and it's been a love affair with music ever since.
So let's talk about the show this evening, Bobby Nicholas Soul Christmas at the Robinson Grand Performing Arts Center. Have you been in the theater since then?
Yes, I have.
Pretty
I'm
sweet.
Very impressed.
Yeah.
This is the crown jewel of North Central West Virginia. There's nothing like it. They've left no stone unturned in making that performing arts theater just a wonderful place to perform.
You always got to pat on the back, the folks that help you? How big a team are you bringing with you this evening?
Well, this is being produced by a young man right here in Clarksburg. Josh Swagger is his name.
Okay.
And we have a lot of local musicians.
That's great.
Phil Wyatt, Davin Seaman on the keyboards.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I know all those guys.
Great musicians. We have a young lady who came in from New York, who's from this area, Meredith Augustine. And my sister, Belinda, is also going to be performing tonight.
Okay. Now, when you say soul, I think Motown. So what's a soul Christmas, Bobby?
Well, soul Christmas can mean one or two things. Yeah, you're right with the Motown connotation of it.
And being the age. I mean,
yes.
we're Motown age, both of us, yeah.
But it's going to be a soul-moving concert. We hope we move your soul with our music. Carols from the Christmas era. So it's going to be very, very interesting, and we hope you can make it.
Is this a show that you've done previously? Or are you going to be performing it again before the holidays elsewhere?
We'll put it this way. This is our first show that we're performing with this type of venue with the Soul Christmas, but we do plan on doing this again next year and to try to continue it. We're doing it for a reason, not only to sit back and relax and have a wonderful evening of music, but there's a nonprofit that's involved.
I'm glad you went there. Go explain that.
The nonprofit is called Mission for Miracles. It was started by a young man from right outside of Morgantown in Waynesburg, Pennsylvania, whose daughter had a spinal cord injury, and they were given pretty bad news about that. But she went to Miami, and Miami sent her to WVU Medicine Children's Hospital. And right now I can tell you she is vibrant, graduated from college, is going to be there this evening. Her name is Meg Throckmorton.
Okay.
So it's a wonderful, wonderful story. And so this is some of the profits from
some
this,
of the proceeds from ticket sales will
yes,
go to this charity.
Yes, will go toward Mission
for
Miracles.
Oh, that's great. I didn't. Okay, that's great. Let's back up again now to talk about your career. Where are we talk about North Central West Virginia.
Yes.
Everybody knows and loves you here. Where have you performed? Some people may not realize you've been on some pretty big stages with some pretty big people.
Yes, I have. I've had the opportunity actually to travel the world with my music. And I tell you, it's been a wonderful experience for me and my family. And what it's done for me is to pick up and remain friends with so many wonderful people from around the world through my music.
Yeah. Your son, Trevor, was a guest on this show several months ago when he was in Pittsburgh performing as the genie in Aladdin, and I was curious knowing that, and he was just remarkable, by the way, because I went to Pittsburgh to see the show. Did you ever have a musical theater bug?
No, not at all.
Okay.
I of course, always been in the church choir, because my mother, we were in the church 5 days a week, so all of my brothers and sisters, we were all in the choir, we all sang, but Trevor is doing very, very well.
Yeah.
He's still with Disney. He's back in his home theater in London with the Aladdin production. And once again, he started at a very young age, about 5-6 years old. Went to Morgantown High School and went to WVU. I was a theater
with
major.
With my son.
That's right. So it's been great.
Well, you may not have done musical theater, but one of my favorite tunes of all time from Les Mis, and we're into it right now. I want to play a little piece of that,
okay,
if that's
Gary.
Okay.
Wonderful.
My prayer in my need, you have always been there. Heaven bless.
I hate to even fade out. That is such a great tune. Performed well by Bobby Nicholas,
well, thank you
who's
so
in,
much.
In studio with us this morning. So that, in all likelihood, will not be a part of the show this evening. What will be? How do you... Who helps you produce, pick music, arrangements? How's all that come together?
Well, Phil Wyatt, of course.
Oh, okay, sure.
And is a fantastic musician, and also Davin Siemens.
Yeah.
They put this together for us,
okay.
And it's a collection of wonderful, wonderful holiday selections, but done with more of a soul beat.
Yeah.
So when you think of Motown, I think you're going to enjoy this. And we have a couple surprises for you. We have a young lady who's going to perform for us, which is going to be, we think, one of the highlights of the program tonight. And she's only 14 years old and from the Clarksburg area.
Okay.
But we'll just keep that under wraps until you see her. You'll be amazed.
Well, that type of stuff, those people come to the surface when you start doing shows with local musicians and all. You learn about some of the local talent.
I'm a true believer on passing it on.
Great.
No one gets through life by themselves, and I had some help when I was very young, and hopefully by giving her the stage that she can continue with her musical career. She's very, very talented.
How often are you still doing productions like this one tonight at the Robinson Grand Performing Arts Center in other parts of North Central West Virginia or around the state or anywhere for that matter?
Well, I keep very busy these days, but mostly we're in the Pittsburgh area.
Oh, okay.
I also do some traveling throughout West Virginia. I was in Wheeling last week. I'll be back in Parkersburg, West Virginia. We still travel extensively, but not as much as when I did it full-time, where we work 6 days a week, 50 weeks out of the year. Can you believe that?
Yeah, that's a lot. Do you still love it?
Oh, I still love it.
But you are taking a little break. You told me, are you headed to London?
I take a little hiatus, yes. I do go to Europe. Last year I went for 3 months. This year I'll go for like 6 weeks. But
I'm envious.
I love to travel.
Yeah.
And this is one of the perks, I guess, of retirement. You have that time to do it.
Yeah. Bobby Nicholas performing this evening at the Robinson Grand Performing Arts Center. Program's called Bobby Nicholas, A Soul Christmas. Sounds great. We'll look forward to it. And there are still tickets available.
Available at the box office.
And the charity again, some of the proceeds go to?
Mission for Miracles.
So a great night of music, a great night to help out community and kids and Mission for Miracles. Bobby, thanks so much for coming
in
this morning.
Thank you for having me, Gary.
Yeah, good to have you here. Okay, we're going to take a break. When we return, we don't have Hoppy today. I think Hoppy's on hiatus. Maybe Hoppy might be in London, too. Anyway, Dave Wilson will be doing his show. I don't think we're going to check in with Dave, but we'll be back to wrap up right after this break.
You're listening to The Gary Bouton Show on the AJR News Network.
And just as a heads up, there will be Metro News Talk Line today and the rest of the week. Dave Wilson will be hosting this morning. Dave is host of a morning show in Morgantown, right, Spike? Similar to what we're doing here at 9 to 10 o'clock. He hosts a local version in Morgantown, and he'll be hosting Metro News Talk Line today, and I'm not sure what the schedule is for the rest of the week. TJ Meadows might be joining a part of the week. I haven't gotten all the details yet. Another quick reminder, Bobby Nicholas, if you were listening, who just joined us in studio, his show tonight begins at 8, and there are, as far as I know, plenty of tickets still available. 8 o'clock's the start at the Robinson Grand Performing Arts Center. And again, don't forget that a lot of local musicians will be a part of this. A young singer that Bobby kind of teased there during the interview. And then, of course, be reminded that some of the proceeds from this will go directly to Mission for Miracles, and Bobby explained essentially what that charity is about. Okay, one of the guests we'll have tomorrow, Judy Wilson is the president of the West Virginia Heritage Crafts in Quiet Dell, in the old Quiet Dell schoolhouse right off the interstate at exit 115. And they always have a lot of unique and interesting gifts there made by crafters over the holidays. So the items that they have available for sale this time of the year are a little bit different and obviously a little bit more Christmas and holiday oriented. So Judy will be with us to tell us about their holiday gifts. Also, they had a big event there last weekend to kind of do a preview of all of the items they're going to be selling for Christmas and some of the folks that are involved in designing the crafts and then working there at the little store that they have, again, at the old Quiet Dell School. Okay, that's all the time we have for today. We appreciate you joining us. We will be back tomorrow to do it all over again. Have a great day, and we'll see you in the morning.